Good morning again, everybody. We are going to have our coffee break in a few moments, but I want to chat with you first about why we do coffee break. It's not just because we like coffee, which Pastor Dustin and I both do. It's not that we like baked goods, which we do. It's much more than that. I don't know when we started this. It was how long you been around? 9 years, to, 7, 8 years, about 7 or 8 years ago. And we just decided we needed an opportunity to get to know each other at a little deeper level than just being in the same room at the same time. And so we started doing this very intentionally so people would have opportunity and present space and provide space and create space for people to get to know each other. But I want to talk to you about why that's important today. So we're going to take a little bit of a break from our series in Hebrews. We'll come back to that next week. It's been a great series. It's heavy, heavy stuff in Hebrews, but great stuff. So we'll come back to that next week. But today I want to talk to you about why we drink coffee and why we do life together in that way. This week I've had the opportunity to be in a lot of different places under a lot of different tutelage from different people, and I'm very thankful for that. Thursday of this week, Rudy and I had the opportunity of being up at Taylor for a End of the Neighborhood conference with a good friend of Mark and Heather Feldbush, Preston Pateau. He's waving like he gets some credit for it. He's just your friend, Mark. I was like, yes, thank you. That's my friend. And Karen Wilk, a good friend of mine as well from Edmonton. And then on Friday, I was able to be up in the city with Cam Roxborough, who is our NAB Vice President of Missional Initiatives. Yes, my friend. I'll count that. It's all good. David Fitch, a missional professor at Eastern Seminary in Chicago. And just an amazing time of teaching around what it means to be the presence of Christ in our neighborhoods. And if you know my heart, you know that that's a big part of my heart. And yet I feel like maybe over the building season of the couple years of building the building and all that, that I've kind of not gotten tired of it by any stretch of the imagination, but we haven't talked about it as much. And I think we need to be reminded of the fact that it's important, even to the point where our theme this year is build community, that community out here and within the walls of the church, outside the walls of the church, happens through unity within the walls and outside the walls of the church. And that our goal is to walk intimately with God and to invite other people to journey with us. So that was Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, very late last week, I got an invitation to join a meeting with some of our folks from the city of Leduc. And I didn't realize, you know, what it was exactly. I was just invited to come to this meeting with Howard Lawrence. And some of you may know Howard if you've been around NAB for a long time. Howard was the pastor of Highlands Baptist Church, which is not an NAB church, but a Baptist Union Church, I believe, in the Highlands area of Edmonton. And he began what is the Abundant Communities Initiative within the city of Leduc to get neighbors to know their neighbors. And they are now in 47 different neighborhoods out of the 120-some in all of Edmonton. And within those neighborhoods where they are, they get input of people's giftedness and desires and wishes for their community. And they partner neighbors together with neighbors to work on making the neighborhood a better place. And where they are, I asked Howard a couple years ago, I said, when you go into a neighborhood, what percentage of people give you their information and connect with the Abundant Communities Initiative? And I was blown away when he said 97% of people want to get connected to their neighbors. He said, what did you expect? I said, I was thinking 40 would be high. And he said, 97% of people give us their information. Well, I was asked to come to this meeting, and I realized it was me and Howard, and most of those people don't realize he's a pastor at heart. But I was able to be there along with Paul Drader from Gateway Community Church. And Paul's an old friend, and he's on the Drug Action Committee. And we were able to be in on that conversation about what does it look like in Leduc when neighbors really care for neighbors. And afterwards, I sent a couple emails to some officials in the city just saying thank you for the invitation to come and be a part of that conversation. And one of the people responded back and said, Dennis, we need your community at Leduc Fellowship Church to be part of the change. And I was excited and scared to death all at the same point that they would see us as a place of service, a place of connection. And yet, man, at times I go, we got to work a lot harder and get a lot better and a lot sharper to be able to lead that change, which I think we can and I think we should. So I was inspired this week in a lot of different conversations about this idea of getting to know people and neighboring together. And I want to read to you out of a passage that we read a lot. And it is not a prescriptive passage for the church, but it is very descriptive of what happens when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of God's people and they live in life together. So let me be as redundant as I can and read to you Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47 again. It says, they devoted themselves, this is the early church after Jesus ascended into heaven, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And we know that when he added daily, that were thousands of people coming to know this hope of Christ through that life led together. And 2 points in this passage, it says they broke bread together. And we so often think that's what Christians do. We break bread together, and we even more narrow it down and say, we Baptists break bread together. Well, guess what? The apostles or the apostolic church breaks bread together. The Pentecostal church breaks bread together. The Lutherans break bread together. Everybody breaks bread together because it's not a uniquely Christian thing. It's a human thing that we share life around meals together. But the difference was when the Holy Spirit came into the mix and we had the teaching of Christ, especially at the Passover before his crucifixion, we are told that meals are going to hold new value and new significance. That when we gather together and we break bread, whether it be on the first Sunday of the month when all the Baptists get together and put crosses out and come to the crosses for communion, that any time we break bread and bring out wine and drink and eat together, there is a remembrance of who Christ is, what he has done for us, and we renew ourselves in our understanding of his presence with us. So it's not uniquely human or uniquely Christian. It is something that human people do all over our globe, whether they believe in Christ or not, but the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. And through Christ's teaching, we take on a whole new meaning to this idea of breaking bread together. We experience Christ in a new way. And it's more than just remembering what he did 2,000 years ago. It's being reminded of the fact that he is still present with us today, living in us through his Holy Spirit and working out of us through us in mission as we care for those around us. So the act of coming to the table and remembering who Christ was, and when you do this, every time you do this, you remember me, is more than just a history lesson of 2,000 years ago. That 2,000 years ago, some guy hung on a cross and died for me, and I'm supposed to remember it 2,000 years later, but it's so much more important than that. It is truly coming to the point where not only do we remember what he did, but we actively participate in his presence today. And we remind each other of his presence in our lives. It's no wonder thousands of people came to Christ, because those people were actively understanding who Christ was, what he had done, and they knew his Spirit was upon them and his presence was with them. So as we come, and in Luke 22, I could read you the whole passage of the Passover, but I'm just going to read verse 19. It says, Jesus, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he says the same thing as he passes the cup. That there's a remembering of the sacrifice. That there's a presence that's there that we acknowledge and understand. There's a mindfulness of his grace. And there's a perpetuation and an extending of his grace through us to other people. Had a great conversation with a young lady this week who wants to invite her neighbors over and have them for coffee and wants to do something to bring the grace of God into their life. And she says, but I can't because I can't pray. And I said, why can't you pray? If they come to your house and you pray, you pray. And what a better thing to pray than just a blessing over the people that sit around your table. Why can't you just pray that? Who's not going to receive a prayer for God's blessing upon them? I haven't found anybody yet that would deny that. They may not believe in it, but they won't deny it. Couldn't hurt, in case it's true. Maybe I should actually get that blessing, right? So we not only become those who take in God's presence in breaking bread through communion and just gathering together for a meal, but we are extenders of God's grace to other people. I just started thinking this morning about all the times that Jesus broke bread with people. The wedding feast, the Matthew party when he got together with all the drunkards and tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. Sat in a Pharisee's house who he didn't agree with and how he lived his life, but he sat with them and broke bread with them. Simon the leper. Nobody was taking Simon's offers for dinner. But Jesus went to Simon the leper and had a woman who had a sordid past anoint his feet with perfume. Jesus tells many parables about eating meals together and sharing life through meals together. What it looks like to have a feast in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus takes a breakfast barbecue on a beach to restore Peter into his relationship with his Savior. And forgives him three times for all the denial that he presented towards Christ. So breaking bread has so much more than just coming and remembering 2,000 years ago once a month on the first Sunday of the month, or maybe the second or third if we really screw up the calendar and mess up things. When we break bread together, we share in the presence of Christ. Had an opportunity on Friday evening to sit for about an hour and a half with David Fitch, who was our speaker on Friday. Cam Roxborough invited me to go out with him as they were heading to the airport. And we were just talking around the table as we broke bread together around nachos, of all things, you know, that this is sort of breaking bread together. It's not the same as what we read in the scripture, but we were breaking bread. And David was talking about Scott McKnight, who's a New Testament scholar out of Eastern Seminary and has written a number of books. And he says he spends a lot of time talking to David or Scott about these things. And he says, you know what, when Scott unpacks this idea of what it means to remember me, that there is this remembering of what God did as we see throughout the whole Old Testament that God calls people to remember things in the past. But he said there's, you know, it's a loose understanding, but you can basically call it that, be present to my presence. When you remember me, you are remembering that I am still here with you, that I'm not just 2,000 years ago, Jesus, that I'm active alive through the Holy Spirit right now, Jesus. And as we go out to share in coffee together, we are not just drinking coffee and eating buns, which is good in and of itself, but we have the opportunity to acknowledge the presence of Christ amongst us. Now, we're not very good at it. And I want to read you a couple of quotes. This is from James Davison Hunter. He's an American sociologist. Works at the LaBrosse Levinson Distinguished Professor of Religion and Culture and Social Theory at the University of Virginia. There's a big title for you. But he's well respected. And he says this, to be Christian is to be obligated to engage the world pursuing God's restorative purpose over all of life. So to be a Christian, we're restoring all of creation to what God meant it to be. But then he goes on to say, if Christians cannot extend grace through faithful presence within the body of believers, they will not be able to extend grace to those outside. So why do we do it here? Because if you can't do it here, you can't do it in your neighborhood. If we want to love our neighbors and invite them for coffee and pray a prayer of blessing over them, we got to learn to do it here, folks. So we do it to make you awkward and feel weird and know not what to do. And we're going to tell you what to do. I want to show you a quick video. This is from a very theologically minded, missionally appointed and minded organization here in Canada that can say it better than I can. So let's watch this video.
I'm Gina from Tim Hortons.
I'm Andrew from Tim Hortons.
We're trying to figure out if people actually know their neighbors or not.
Okay.
We see each other in passing.
I don't know them at all.
Would you be interested in having a cup of coffee with your neighbor?
Right now?
Yeah.
You have an accent. Where are you from?
I do.
I'm English.
Oh, really?
Interesting, eh?
Yeah.
You bring the coffee?
There
oh,
you go,
thanks. Yeah. How's it going?
So you just got home not long ago?
Oh, yeah, I came a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, what do you do for work?
I was just going to ask you. I work in sales.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How do you like the house?
Love the house. It's completely renovated.
I noticed. I mean, I was watching the whole thing go down, obviously.
It must have been really annoying for you.
So what do you do for fun?
Now, I mean, everything is kind of the kids.
I just started my new job.
Where did you start working?
I'm a chef.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I'm not quite that Canadian yet.
I don't know if I'm that Canadian yet. Like, I can't skate. I've never watched a hockey game in my life.
Why haven't we met sooner?
I know the mom life, the busy mom life. I know sometimes I see you
struggling with my two.
Right?
Sure. We have a barbecue this summer.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah. And I'll do the dessert.
I mean, maybe we'll have a coffee inside the house at some
point.
Definitely. When it's not minus five. But. So
next weekend, I'm going to Montreal with a girlfriend.
I'm going to Montreal too, actually.
Next weekend, getting to know your neighbor is more than just knowing their name.
Typically, when I meet neighbors, first you got to do the hello from a distance.
We see each other, but we don't really talk or hang out.
When you actually take the time to start talking to somebody, it's amazing what you can find out that you have in common.
I'm from a different country. And I don't have a lot of family around me, so I consider my neighbors family.
Canada, gain a new friend, meet your neighbor. It's as simple as that.
All right, you can clap for that. We've just been theologically shamed by Tim Hortons. That we own, love your neighbor as yourself. It was our guru that said it. And yet, let me read this quote to you again. If Christians cannot extend grace through faithful presence within the body of believers, they will not be able to extend grace to those outside. So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing one more song. I'm going to come up and give you a few directions. And we're going to go out and we're going to have coffee. And fun and food. And just like the video, sit down and say, you talk funny. Where are you from? It's okay. There's some of you who have funny accents in here. I've heard you. Some of you just talk funny. Ask, where are you from? Don't be embarrassed that I've seen you in this building so many times and yet I don't know you. It's just as bad as knowing your neighbors come in and out. You know them enough to maybe wave at them, but you don't know them well enough to actually sit down and have a cup of coffee. And I love the guy who says, maybe next time we can do it in the house where it's not minus five. Maybe we can sit and have coffee together. So in this time, when we do break in a few moments, I hope you just simply sit with somebody and say, you know what, I've seen your face a lot. I don't know anything about you. Where are you from? What's your story? We only have 15 or 20 minutes. It's not going to take you a long time, but just break that ice. Get to know each other. Let me pray for us. Dustin and the team will come up, lead us in our last song, and then I'll just tell you how we're going to do coffee break, and we'll get out and we'll do it. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the opportunity to remember you. Through communion, through worshiping you in song and in word and in prayer. But we thank you also for the chance to remember you as we exist in your presence together. Father, don't let us be shamed by Tim Hortons. Let us love one another within the room that we might know the joy of loving one another in our neighborhoods. So Father, we love you. We thank you for it. And we thank you for the opportunity to get to know each other in a deeper way, hopefully today. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen.